You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So we were talking at the tail end of last hour about people who are going to make some bank next summer when the World Cup comes to town. And one woman named Linda is charging $1,100 a night for her place in Weston. And that's one room.
Oh, just one room?
One room.
One room. So it does say refund available, Dan. Like cancellation available. But I thought it was funny when I saw it, but not because I think there's anything wrong with Linda. I did not realize that is the amount of money we're talking about for the World Cup.
So a friend of mine that I went to high school with, she bounces between here and they also have a house in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Yeah.
And she wrote me during the news, we have a house out by us. This is in Scottsdale. She says it's out in the country, the house. We have a house out by us that rents for $25,000 a week for the Waste Management TPC.
Absolutely. And they'll get every dime of it.
$25,000 a week.
Hey, do you know who stays in those houses?
No. The golfers?
Your guess is going to be rich people, and you would sort of be right and sort of not. Corporate event people, if you think about it, at Waste Management Open or any big, big, big thing, like even like the World Cup, Capital One brings in an entire gaggle of clients. American Express, like think high level corporations who want to go to those events. Those are the people renting out the houses for $25,000. It's corporation. It's some of its people, but some of it's also corporations. And I'm assuming the World Cup would be no different.
Can you imagine having $25,000 to blow in 1 week just renting somebody's house?
As a person, no. As a corporation, I don't think they blink.
Yeah.
I don't think they blink. You and I talked during the break. I think I have changed my mind. I don't think I would rent out my house, period. But if I were to do it, I would want to be there the more and more I think about it. And Sam said absolutely not.
Oh, there's no chance in hell I'm renting out my house.
Wouldn't do it? You have like 7 bedrooms.
6.
The money sounds great until they leave. And, you know, I'm sure most of the fans are going to be great, but how do you know you're not going to get that one group of fans wants to party until 3:30 in the morning and break stuff and they leave and all of a sudden you're like, well, I got $5,000 a night, but I've got $40,000 in repairs.
You're rolling the dice between some, you know, 65-year-old corporate CEO from Portugal and some hoodlum from London who made all of his money on some internet site that he sold. And he's just crazy, and he's bringing his best friend from high school.
But maybe that's why people are charging such exorbitant amounts, because A, they know they can get it, and B, do you not weed out some of the riffraff if you're talking $20,000?
Now, where is this room for rent?
Well, the one in that's Weston. They're all over for rent for the World Cup. This one happens to be in Weston.
I mean, that's like 40 miles away.
It is not close. And she was asking $1,100 for a night.
And you get to stay with her.
And I think
she's not moving out for the weekend.
Party with you.
I have think she'll get it. I'm not kidding you. I don't know what the hotel space situation looks like right now, but like,
I mean, Weston is a lovely little town.
It's charming. I love it so
much. But it's also 40 miles away from the game. Scott from the text line 3401. Scott's afraid to open his front door to a Girl Scout selling cookies. He's certainly not going to rent a room in his house.
Army crawl.
That's actually true.
That is all true. That is all 100% true. I will not be renting out any of the rooms in my home, even if I'm staying there. No.
What if someone said they would give you $50,000?
Yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm.
But again, until or unless you get the group of people that's going to tear everything up. And if you've 7 rooms, right? You give them 3 of the rooms and they just annihilate all 3 of those rooms. It's going to cost you $50,000 to fix them.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Give me 5 minutes. I'll talk you out of anything.
What you say is I don't want Joe Walsh staying here.
Well, Joe Walsh, when he was in his prime.
Right.
And now he's sober and older.
He might be a lovely guest. I don't know.
Okay. How are the squirrels doing at the house?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'd like to talk to somebody who has one of these smart bird... Oh, hold please.
Do we have a guest?
I have a new bird friend. This morning I heard a smattering of bloop, 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 bloop. And I looked down and it said, you have a new animal guest. That is different. He's back! Okay, he's back. Look, he's sitting there right now.
There he is.
Oh, that little vermin! Dan, I have a squirrel that has attacked my bird feeder.
Oh, yeah.
He will not leave. Oh, he's there right now. Okay,
it's a smorgasbord.
This is what I've heard. Oh, now there's birds back. Oh, they're fighting. There is some sort of setting on this thing where you can talk live to the animals. And I said this to Scott because he picked me up today on the way to work. I said, I was the crazy woman screaming at a squirrel today through my phone.
Yeah, you were.
I opened the app, Dan, and you can go, scram! Get out! Ah! I was making all these weird noises. That squirrel didn't move.
And where were you when you were doing this?
In bed.
Oh.
It's all, what do you call it? It's all through the app.
Oh, you were talking through the camera.
You can talk through the camera to get the squirrels to leave. Here's the problem. They're not afraid of human voice.
No.
So he didn't move?
The food.
No! He turned around and showed me his little squirrel butt and then turned back around and kept right on eating. He mooned me.
You need to mix it with like paprika or cayenne pepper or something.
We're on it. We're going to do it. And by the way, is there a squirrel somewhere attacking people? Was that in your newscast?
Out in the Bay Area, there is a squirrel that has been attacking people, they say.
Not funny, but sort of funny.
Yeah.
Why don't you just embrace the squirrels? Why does it have to be a bird feeder? Why can't it be a squirrel feeder?
Because bird seed, didn't know this until about 6 months ago, is not cheap. Remember I used to make fun of people that go to the bird store? I'm like, who goes to the 50 bird? Like, no,
well,
I'm now
using
that person.
Something called suet.
Yeah.
That's probably more expensive than just some sunflower
seeds. No, the
seeds.
The suet that goes in the little cage is like $2. But the actual huge bags of bird seeds is expensive. It's not that I hate squirrels. I don't. I don't want anything to happen to the little guy. But I would prefer he not eat the bird seed.
Have you considered looking into bird feed instead of bird seed?
I have not. What is the difference, Sam? Educate me.
I don't know. I heard about it on the Toby Tobin show one time.
Oh, Toby Tobin.
I understand there's a difference.
Okay.
But I can one-up you because I have squirrels at my house that drop walnuts the size of walnuts.
You sure it's not acorns?
No, they're black walnuts. And when a black walnut is...
It's loud.
...grows to its full potential, it's the size of a baseball. And they throw them at my truck, and they set my truck alarm off, so it goes off at like 3 in the morning, and I think somebody's breaking into my truck. Nope, just a squirrel.
Text line has some good advice for you.
Lay it on me.
There's something called hot meats bird seed.
Okay.
There's also hot pepper bird food. Asking, do you have a baffle?
How's a baffle?
Is that thing you put at the base of the tree that so the squirrels don't? They can't get up and around it. I believe it is.
Also, an air rifle.
I am not shooting at squirrels.
Well, first of all, you know, I used to hate squirrels, especially when I lived in Roland Park, because I had an oak tree out front. And they would bury the acorns in my yard, and it looked like a minefield.
Oh, yeah. They also bury the walnuts in my yard.
Yeah. And so, you know, I always took great pride in my yard, and then they would bury these things in the yard. But then COVID happened. And I needed a friend.
Hey, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
How big were those walnuts, Sam? Well, they were walnut-sized.
They're big.
That's what she said.
I was trying to compare it to something, but I didn't want to exaggerate.
No, you know what?
It's walnut. We got it.
You compare a walnut to a walnut.
It's the most accurate thing you can do.
The acorn was the size of an acorn.
It's like the other day when the Kansas City Star was like, we're expecting lime-sized hail. It's like,
lime.
When did we move on to citrus fruit?
A lime, that's black walnut right, size.
Quick break, 913-586.
Not my black walnut.
77. All right, let's clean it up. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from CBS News. A number of charities today have severed ties with Sarah Ferguson, the ex-wife of Prince Andrew, after British newspapers published an email that she reportedly wrote to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, describing him as a, quote, supreme friend. Julia's House, which is a children's hospice, said that the reported correspondence made it inappropriate for Ferguson, also known as the Duchess of York, to remain a patron.
A supreme friend, huh?
Who uses that? You're a supreme friend.
Using? I don't even know if I'd call you a supreme friend. I don't know if that's an insult or not.
Well, it kind of hurt my feelings.
I'm just kidding.
It is believed that she wrote the letter to Epstein referring to him as a supreme friend after he threatened to sue her for associating him with sexual abuse in a media interview. That's what you did.
Yeah.
He even pleaded guilty to it in 2008.
Yep.
I'm going to sue you because you're connecting me with sexual abuse in a media interview.
I am.
You're a sexual abuser.
Yeah.
Supreme friend.
I'm the biggest proponent of finding the truth. But I've kind of given up on this one. I don't think we're going to get there.
What do you mean? Which part?
Just the whole Epstein story in general. You know, that the allegation is that he gained all this information to blackmail people for power. And I think that we are being naive if we think that we're ever going to really get to the bottom of it.
Because too many people in power are going to make sure that the truth doesn't come out.
That is correct.
Yeah. Sam, I don't know if you're ruining me or if I'm just starting to realize that maybe once in a while you're actually right. But you are slowly morphing me into a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I'm only a conspiracy theorist until I'm right.
Fair point.
And I've been right quite a few times.
I mean,
in my short.
Right.
Conspiracy theory life.
One man is dead. Another was arrested after police say an argument over grass clippings led to a 22-year-old landscaper being fatally shot.
Oh, boy.
Travis Jackson. This is out of Ohio, by the way. Travis Jackson, who is 36, is now charged with 2 counts of murder, 2 counts of felonious assault, and discharging a firearm. In mid-September, Dunham's lawn care worker, Tanner Staggs, was working at a home in Dayton, Ohio, when an argument broke out between him and his client's neighbor.
Okay.
Then shots were fired. Somebody called into 911. We got a guy shot in the head. When the dispatcher asked the caller if they knew what led to the shooting, the caller replied, yeah, it was an argument over grass clippings on a car.
So he was mowing. He had it shooting out the side, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm. Neighbor didn't like it. Neighbor comes out and allegedly shoots him in the head.
Because potentially, maybe, we don't even know, but potentially scratching your car, the punishment for that is death.
Absolutely.
Yeah, every time.
Of course it's death.
Eye for an eye.
After speaking with witnesses, investigators determined that Jackson came out of his home and began arguing with Tanner Staggs over mud and grass that was on his vehicle. Apparently that turned into a pretty big argument, and Tanner, who, as I mentioned, by the way, just turned 22, was shot in the head.
Not that it really matters, but just for the conversation, does it say what kind of vehicle it is?
No.
So I've had this issue before, my other job, where I'll be power washing or something, and people will, like, leave their car in a spot forever, so I have to power wash right next to it. And they'll come out and yell at me because a little bit of dirt got on the bottom of their car. And it wasn't intentional. I did my best not to. I'm not allowed to spray it off of the car. But
why?
Well, we're not a car wash.
Oh.
I don't know what the reasoning is. I was always told I wasn't allowed to. But I had a guy go in one time and demand that we give him cash for a car wash. And it was like, again, no offense to Corollas, like a 1997 Corolla. And I'm like, bro, what? You got more scratches on that thing than I could have even possibly put on it. Like,
and he was mad because you were power washing out
too close to his vehicle, and he said that I got dirt on his car, and like was screaming
inside the convenience store.
Yeah, I was like, all right, sorry.
Do you ever get nervous like that they might be armed or something?
Well, I mean, if you're going to shoot me over that, that's on you, not me.
It's going to be on you at that
point.
That's
fair. I don't know. I've never understood that extreme rage. Just go to the car wash. $7.
Just go home and get a bucket.
A hose. Yeah.
It's not, I'm kind of like Dana. I don't like confrontation.
Yeah.
If you got a little bit of dirt on my car, I just think I would get in my car and drive away. It's not worth going into a store, making a fool out of myself I do that on my own easily. I don't need to work at it. And I would just be like, whatever.
Also, your car's in public. It's not like it's in a bubble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, your neighbor's getting their grass cut. Get over it.
So if he's behind somebody who's out in the country and
drops a rock, is he going to shoot him in the head? Yeah.
A Las Vegas woman was reportedly zip-tied and duct-taped after assaulting a flight attendant on an American Airlines flight. We've got another passenger for Jerk Air.
Come aboard.
According to the Department of Justice, Ketty DeLone was a passenger aboard an American Airlines flight from Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, to Las Vegas. Officials say DeLone began walking down the aisle yelling, threatening multiple flight attendants. Department of Justice said the flight crew had to restrain her with zip ties and duct tape when she started to kick one of the attendants, causing the employee to fall. The flight ultimately landed at Harry Reid International Airport, and she was taken into custody.
Do they believe there may have been alcohol involved?
Well, I've been to Punta Cana.
Okay.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah, great place.
It's beautiful. Actually, I say that and it's not. The resorts are beautiful, but I have never in my life, and those of you who have been to Punta Cana know that I speak the truth here, and we had a great time. It was Sarah's, that was her high school graduation trip. She wanted to go to Dominican yeah. Republic. And I'm glad we went because the countryside is gorgeous. We went zip lining through the mountains, four wheeling. They call it mudding.
Mudding.
And the resort was absolutely stunning. Having said that, the city of Punta Cana could not have been filthier. I mean, when we were riding out on the bus to go zip lining, you know, like I said, it's up in the mountains, yeah, out in the country, right?
It's hard to zip line on a beach.
Thank you, Sam. And you are 100% accurate.
Made it 8 feet.
Ooh, water. But anyway, when we got on the bus to do that little day tour, and the sides of the street are littered with discarded water bottles and just trash.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine.
It's almost as if they've given up on trash pickup. You know, does that make any sense? Like, nobody's coming. What are we going to do with this trash? Let's just dump it on the side of the road.
It's very humbling for how much we complain about trash on the side of the road here in Kansas City. Like, it's a problem compared to other cities in this country. Don't get me wrong, but we got everything pretty nice.
Yep. Somebody on the text line, did we lose Dana? She had to head out. She's on her way up to Nebraska.
We're losing her.
Her daughter has an event tomorrow morning. And they need to work on it tonight. So, yes, Dana did take off a little bit early. She will be back tomorrow, assuming that her car has enough electricity to get up to Lincoln.
I said to Scott right before we came back on the air, what's the over-under of her running out of electricity? We're rooting for you, Dana.
Yeah, we are. Rooting for a good story tomorrow. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice is back at the Chiefs facilities as he has hit the halfway mark in his suspension.
Was he not allowed to be at the facilities for the first three games?
That is what I am reading here, yeah. He's completely disassociated from the team for the first 3 weeks. I don't believe he is allowed to practice or anything until the suspension is complete. However, he is allowed back in Arrowhead facilities.
Speaking of sports, North Carolina got smoked again over the weekend, falling to UCF.
Yeah.
I think it was 34-9 or something like that. I just saw this meme on Facebook, and it's a picture of Bill Belichick. And I don't know if it was taken this weekend, but he's wearing North Carolina gear.
Right.
He's on the sidelines, obviously. And somebody writes, Bill Belichick is finding out that coaching college students is not as easy as dating them.
Oh!
Stay down. Oh. Stay down.
Woo! Man, he is struggling. What do you think the level of regret is in that athletic department?
I don't know that. Actually, I don't know that it's the athletic. I mean, they're 2-2. Who did he replace? When did Mack Brown retire from that gig at North Carolina? Do you remember?
I have no idea. Okay.
But I think what he's going to learn is having to recruit all the time and get kids interested instead of just drafting them, you know, is a lot of work.
Well, and I'm assuming he didn't lead the charge at the Patriots. Not that he has to lead the charge at North Carolina, but... by the way, 36 straight seasons for Mack Brown.
Well, Mack Brown wasn't 36 straight seasons at North Carolina.
He left North Carolina in 97 to go to Texas.
I thought he went back to North Carolina. Okay. All right. Then I misspoke.
Final season at North Carolina in 2024.
Public school
AI gets it wrong.
A public school administrator in Ohio has resigned after he was accused of selling the school district's lawnmowers on Facebook Marketplace.
No way.
Akron Public Schools said that Administrator Stephen Keenan was suspended last week before resigning on Friday. According to the agenda from the school board meeting, Mr. Keenan traded in 11 lawnmowers to a vendor, the lawnmowers all owned by the school district, to a vendor without the board's approval so he could buy new lawnmowers. He then bought seven traded-in lawnmowers under a friends and family discount with the vendor. Keenan reported. So it's not like he sold the lawnmowers and kept them for the money for himself.
Right. He was just fundraising for the school.
Well, no, but he sold the lawnmowers and then bought some newer ones.
But I'm sure that there's some sort of, you know, checks and balances.
You got to get it approved by the board.
Three different bids and, yeah.
Okay. All
right. By the way, the winner has come forward in Missouri.
Oh.
Self-described as a homebody, the winner has come forward to claim half of nearly $1.7 billion in the Powerball jackpot prize. Of course, you guys remember the winning numbers. Purchased it at the Quick Trip in North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Self-described as a homebody. I'm not seeing a name anywhere in here. Now holds the record for claiming the largest prize ever won by a Missouri Lottery player. Said that he's going to take some time off and enjoy the experience. You don't say.
Time off from what? His job?
Quote, I'm just going to do me for a year.
You mean for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Saying he's going to spend some more time with his wife, who will be reducing her workload as well. Quote, she's going to drag me out of town. Enjoy it, man.
What do you mean she's going to reduce her workload? You mean to 0 hours per week?
Right.
Well, you know, listen, and I'm being serious. I love my job. I've been fortunate to work at this radio station for almost 30 years now. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. And I look forward to coming to work every day. It's fun. I get to dress like I still did when I was 17 years old in high school. I'm wearing flip-flops right now and basketball shorts. Okay? And a hoodie. If I won hundreds of millions of dollars in the lottery.
$410.3 million.
Okay, and then the other guy gets the $403 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to really find it hard to find the motivation to come to work.
He said, I'm a millionaire. I'm a multimillionaire, and last night I was just doing laundry.
Yeah, he'll never have to do his own laundry for the rest of his life.
He said, winning such a large sum of money has been difficult.
Why?
He said that he's had many sleepless nights since the drawing and realizing he had the winning ticket. However, he said it's a problem that he welcomes. And you had asked
Do we have a name?
It does not say his name anywhere in the story.
Does it say that he wants to remain anonymous?
It does not.
Huh, okay.
This, by the way, from Fox 4. You had asked what the store gets. $50,000.
That's it?
$50,000.
I thought the stores got more than that. I thought they got like...
No.
Like a... Like 10%. Oh, man.
How did you interview the guy and not get his name?
Probably because the interview was based on the condition that you don't name me.
Yeah.
I'll give you the interview, but you better not use my name.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, but good for him. Good
$410 for him. $410 million richer. By the way, had he taken the annuity, it would have been $893 million.
Say that again.
Had he taken the annuity?
Okay.
$893 million.
Yeah, but you've got to live for 30 more years.
And we've said it many times on this program, and I don't know for certain, but I do believe that you can pass it on to one person. You can pass it down once.
I have never heard that.
Every time we say it on the show, the text line blows up with it. I've Googled it. I can't get a hard yes or no. But anyway, more than double your money by taking it in slow increments, unless the lottery folds, and then you'll be like the publisher's clearinghouse people and you'll get no money.
That's exactly right. A teaching assistant, this is out of South Carolina, a teaching assistant has been arrested after authorities say he used a poop spray to create a foul odor at a high school in South Carolina. Alexander Lewis, who is a 32-year-old teaching assistant at West Florence High School, allegedly sprayed an odor designed to imitate fecal matter while at the school multiple times between August 25th and September 19th of this year.
Oh, man, and those sprays stink.
Are these just like just prank stuff?
There's
no purpose for it, right? It's not for self-defense or anything like that. It's simply to make it smell like poop.
Well, if you want somebody to go away, it'll work for self-defense.
Okay.
Imagine the worst flatulence you've ever smelled. Multiply that by 10, and that's what these things smell like.
Where can you get some?
Online, anywhere. There was a call. It was a ridiculous call, but there was a call for a time to ban the stuff because people were so upset that, you know, kids would get a hold of it and spray it in class and the entire classroom would have to vacate because, like, 1 millisecond pump of this spray can, and it's just horrible.
Lewis's alleged use of the spray, which was acquired online, there you go, caused disruption at the school and required children to seek – I'm not laughing about this part – to seek medical attention for respiratory issues. The high school also had to spend $55,000 to fix its air conditioning system.
Oh, I bet.
Lewis is charged with disturbing schools and malicious injury to property. He is being held in jail.
Fecal matter.
Wow.
Kansas City Sea Life Aquarium has a new endangered resident.
Oh?
Yeah. A sea turtle named Casey.
Oh. Casey?
K-C. Very like creative.
K, the letter K and the letter C or C-A-S-E-Y?
Nope, the letter K and the letter C.
Okay.
You want to check out Casey, head on down to Sea Life, where Casey is now a new resident.
We have a new Eagle Scout, 17 years old.
Hmm.
Her name is Gabrielle.
Wonder what that
feels Montoya.
Like.
Well, I don't know, Sam, because I quit Boy Scouts when I was a life, right before I got my Eagle Scout. In fact, my dad said to me, son, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yeah, I'm going to quit. I wish you wouldn't.
Well, you're living up to the Life Scout name. Life Scout, full life.
Get out. Get out right now. Anyway, Gabrielle Montoya, I believe she's from California. Did what I could not do and did not do, and she is an Eagle Scout.
First one in the state, yeah?
I believe that is correct.
First female Eagle Scout in the state?
I believe that is correct. You may recall that the Boy Scouts in 2019 opened their doors to girls and became Scouting America, which I'm totally fine with. You know, we were one of the few countries in the industrialized world that had separate scouts for boys and girls. In almost every European country, girls and boys are in the same scouting organization.
It's not like the laws of survival in nature differ by gender.
No, and I remember when we would go on these, you know, jubilees or what, these camping things. I remember one time we were in Denmark, and we felt like nerds because we were the only troop.
Boys only group.
We were the only troop that only had boys.
Yeah.
Everybody else had boys and girls in their troops. Huh. I was like, man, we are nerds. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, welcome back. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Doug in Kansas City. Doug, good afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
I had won a large amount in the lottery, won a million, and I took the 20-year payout. And what they actually did is they just bought an annuity. They took what I would have got in upfront cash, which was like $620,000, and just bought me an annuity and pays out over 20 years. And so what happens is I get $50,000 a year minus taxes for 20 years versus they would have took the taxes out of the lump sum of $620,000, which would have netted about $350,000.
Wow.
So this way, I figured I could, basically feel like I win in the lottery every year.
How old were you when you won $1 million in the lottery?
I was 42, I think.
Okay. Are you now past 62, yeah, if I can ask? It's none of my business.
No.
So you're still getting $50,000 a year.
Right. But it's an annuity that I have beneficiaries. It's not the lottery giving the money. It's through an insurance company annuity they bought. So I can leave it, to beneficiaries and all that. Yeah.
So if God forbid you don't make it to the 20 years, somebody else close to you or in your family is going to get that money.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like any annuity you would buy by yourself. So
what did you do when you found out you had won $1 million?
Well, I was at work and I just sat at my desk for about an hour and I had a very shaky drive home.
Well, good for you, man. I'm happy for you.
All right, but that's how it works.
Okay, man. So, I appreciate the information. Right. Thank you. And there is no chance in hell I'm ever going to be as lucky as you are, my friend.
And by sat at work, he meant I didn't do any work, but I sat there until 5. Right.
I don't know if you guys heard this in the newscast that Dan had. Harry Styles apparently ran the Berlin Marathon and did it apparently without being recognized.
Didn't tell anybody he was doing it.
Nope. And this is not the first marathon he's ever done. He ran the marathon yesterday in Berlin and clocked in, okay, at 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 13 seconds. That's good.
That's really good.
Wow. He ran the Tokyo Marathon back in March and finished at 3 hours and 24 minutes.
A 30-minute PR?
Yeah.
He's cooking.
Yeah.
Love it. It says further down in the story what a good marathon time is.
Which, really good, yes.
Yeah.
So somebody named Sebastian Saw, he won the Berlin Marathon in the men's group with a time of 2 hours and 2 minutes and 16 seconds.
Oh, that's insane.
I mean, that's almost like sprinting.
Can you imagine?
No.
Well, your brother ran a marathon.
He did. And you know
once.
What? That's right. He ran the Wichita Marathon, and he had done a couple of half marathons prior.
Got to warm up
and
build up that endurance.
Yeah, and he trained. I mean, my brother trained. He's not stupid.
Yeah.
But I still swear that his body has not been the same since.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you're running 26.2 miles. That is a hell of a long run.
I mean, even in my track days, we would run 6 to 10 miles on our long distance days, and I hated it. I could not imagine going 26.
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't think my brother has entered a running competition or charity ever since.
Has he run ever since?
I have not seen him run. After the Wichita Marathon, no.
He said, that was enough. I'm done for life.
No, he really did. He got done, and he's like, man, I did something to myself. And I'm like, Steve, I would have never done it. And he said, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. Okay. All right, we got to run. On behalf of our producer today, finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.